Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
Guys, first, thank you very much for coming down to the 680 News studios. It is great to talk to you. You know, listening to We Are Young, I was kind of thinking to myself that it seems like every generation has that sort of national anthem about who they are. And to me, this song is representing this generation right now, you know, and it's a perfect song for, you know, the way young folks feel, man. So congratulations on putting a track together like that.
Oh, thank you so much.
I mean, when you guys were thinking about this song, I mean, the inspiration behind it, how did it all come about?
It just came from one night when I was driving in my car. I guess the chorus just kind of came into my head out of nowhere. And then lyrically, I don't know, I have a tough time with it because it's not necessarily a true story, but it's an amalgamation of insecurities and also just one lousy night where I threw up in a couple of taxi cabs. And then like people that are dear to me had to take care of me. And I think it's just that romantic idea of like having a great night out with your friends and forgetting like maybe any sort of baggage that you might have and just having a good time and knowing that they're going to be there for you no matter what.
What's the reaction been from fans when they've heard the song? Have they tweeted you guys, and what have they said about the track?
Well, one of the things that's a big upside about having a fan base before you have a hit single is that the party's going on before all the outsiders come. So, you know, it's like the difference between like a party where you just invited 30 people that don't know each other versus like, you know, a group of people and then they all bring a couple friends. So what's been nice is the fans, their sentiment has been pride. And so, you know, when they write to us, when they talk to us at shows, they say things like, this is so thrilling, we're so proud that we were there from the beginning. Because the truth is, when you believe in a band, you buy tickets, and you buy merch, and you spend your own money and emotions on a band before they become mainstream successful, it ties you to it, and you're a part of it, and you discovered it. And, you know, that either makes you really upset and really bitter or really proud to have been there from the beginning. And we're really lucky that our fans have chosen the latter.
And how are you guys handling the mainstream success now? Has it changed you guys in any way? Are you guys a little bit more cautious? Are you looking to, you know, make sure that this role rides as far as possible? I mean, tell me what the difference was from before to now.
Well, I think the way we go about our daily lives is pretty much the same. I mean, we're all either 30 or approaching 30, and so we're pretty set in our ways. I like to eat a bowl of Lucky Charms every morning, and that's, you know, I still do that kind of thing.
You can still eat that? Man, the last time I tried to do that, I almost choked because of the sugar in it. I couldn't do it.
Okay, fine. It's horrible, and I tried it the other day and had the same reaction. I eat oatmeal every day. I just didn't want to say it. I eat oatmeal with walnuts, a little tiny bit of brown sugar, and dried cherries.
Oatmeal right here, too.
Yeah, it's the best. Anyway, so that sort of thing doesn't change for us.
Breakfast has not changed.
No, but I mean, like, that, I guess that's just like a part of the larger picture of like we're pretty set in our ways. I don't think we're letting any sort of success get to our heads in any way because we've been doing this for 10 years and we have felt great about our careers already. Like, you know, we had people coming to shows and that was enough for us, and so it's still enough for us. This other stuff is just a nice like icing on the cake, I guess.
And I want to talk about quickly how the band got together because I mean, you read stuff on the internet and you're never sure what's what, so. Were you guys a band, part of a different band before and just sort of broke away? How did that all work out?
We were all part of different bands, and we had toured together, like on package tours where Andrew's band was there and Jack's band was there and my band was there. And so we became friends just on those tours. And I always just kept tabs on these two, not only because they were my friends, but because they were the two like musicians that I wanted to work with the most. And so as soon as we got that opportunity, we kind of took it, and we booked a one-way ticket to New Jersey to Jack's parents' living room and started making demos.
So this is a 10-year road for you guys. What has the 10 years been like? And, you know, as you were saying, you know, funding your own shows and, you know, getting out there and doing everything that you had to do in the traveling, you know, in the, you know, the small vans and everything else. What was that like for you guys building up to this?
Well, it was really great, but we were also very lucky because I think that there's moments in your life when you can do things and there's moments in your life when you can't. So, you know, at 18, you're capable of sleeping on floors and not eating for a few days and driving through the night. And just the human human body physically at maybe 22 isn't capable of that anymore. But at 22, you're capable of, you know, staying in crappy hotels and whatnot. And the three of us have been really lucky to have an artistic and sort of business evolution where it's been a really slow build up where we hadn't ever had to go back. But I would say the greatest thing about our journey is, I mean, I said this before, but it's a sense of pride. I know that it seems like when other people have any degree of success, there's a level of self-deprecation, even like some weird self-hatred, you feel bad about it. And I think that we're incredibly humble and down-to-earth people, but I would say that there is no part of us that ever kids ourselves about the journey to get here. And that's a really special thing because we know what we went through. So when we sell a few million singles or if we get on stage in front of a few thousand people, there's no fiber in the three of us that doesn't understand how it happened. And that's special.
When this song started really taking off, what were you guys' thoughts? Were you guys sitting back and going, okay, so it's reaching this. Okay, now it's going, okay, what the hell? Oh, it just hit number one in Canada. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, it's all been really, really bizarre. I know we keep going back to the theme of like the last 10 years, but we definitely don't take anything for granted, and to a degree that it's probably silly and that stuff doesn't even really seem real to us still. Like I guess we're triple platinum in the U.S. now, and that sort of thing just doesn't even make sense to me. That was just never something I thought could happen to me. And to hear like all the success it's had in Canada, and I guess it went number one in Ireland recently, like things like that just – anytime we get a phone call, it's just still kind of a wonderful little shock. I think we still don't really believe it to some degree.
And the funny thing is, because, you know, we mentioned about you guys are, you know, from New York, but when I first heard the song, I thought you guys were from Ireland. I would thought that was an Irish song, you know, it would fit perfectly. And then, of course, you know, I'm realizing, you know, the song's been on like what? How many places? Like, it's weird. Glee's got it. The WWE used the song. I mean, this song is going all over the place.
Yeah, it's pretty insane to see how it works. I think we've been really lucky that the people that have used it. I mean, I haven't seen the WWE thing.
I think they used it during a WrestleMania thing or something,
which is weird. But I mean, that's usually what I like to listen to when I get lathered up and fake fight with my friends. So it was like watching my like tiny basement life come to massive arena life.
Well, it's definitely worked out for you guys. But, you know, we keep talking about the hit single. Folks need to know more about the rest of the album. And what can they expect when they hear it?
Well, I mean, we grew up in the 90s and listening to our parents' records and listening to great records made at that time. And our cues and the way we learned how to write music was to write albums. And that's what we do. And even when we made Some Nights, there was never any We Are Young buzz. It was just about the album, and We Are Young is one piece of that puzzle. So while it's incredibly thrilling that it's reaching so many people, we also are adamant about it being a bridge to people getting the album because it makes more sense in context with the album. It's like I said, a piece of a puzzle that is one big thought, and the song is just one thought. So that's really huge for us, and I know that 2012 is more about singles, less about albums, but we're doing everything we can to rearrange that a little bit and take it back to a time when bands and artists make collections of songs that have meaning as a whole.
You're here for that. Tour-wise, what's going to happen with you guys?
We basically aren't going to stop touring this year, as far as I can tell. We're going to try to get to Australia. We're going to try to get to Japan. We're going to Europe in May, and we're coming back to Canada later this year, too, and then doing full U.S. tour. So we're just going to try to cover the whole globe, basically.
Fantastic. And website and Twitter, where do we go?
OurNameIsFun.com, and we're on Twitter at OurNameIsFun.
Fantastic. And last but not least, you know, you look like Mark Wahlberg. People have told you that, haven't they?
Yes, that is very – I've heard that. There's not 2 days that go by where I don't hear it once.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I ruined it for you, man, but I had to say it. So, guys, thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.